Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be following through in Perek Mem Daled, that 44th chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a fascinating Perek. It's about seeking truth from Hashem and Hashem alone. And really this topic of this Perek investigates the psychological insight behind Avodah Zarah, behind idol worship, and of course Yeshayahu is speaking to us in a post-prophetic, post-Avodah Zarah era as well, as we'll soon see why. So let's look at the different sections of this parak and think about what Yeshayahu is arguing about as it comes to addressing Avodah Zarah in our lives and in theirs. So the first section of the parak runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Hey, and it's basically about how to we're recognizing Hashem himself. Hashem reassures us, Israel, that again, we're his servant, we have been chosen by him. It's like a parent, like especially like a mother who knows the child from the womb. That's how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes us from our very inception. And Hashem describes how he's going to pour water on the thirsty, and he's going to pour his spirit on the children of his children. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to revive us again. And when this happens, he describes how we will sprout forth like willows by the riverbank. We'll be like sort of growing back. And successfully, even after long galuyos. And then at the end of the section, he says, "Zeh yomar laHashem ani." This one will say unto God. "Zeh yikra b'shem Yaakov." This one will call in the name of Jacob. "Zeh yichtav yadoy laHashem." This one will write his hand in the hand of Hashem. "U'v'shem Yisrael yichanen." Will pronounce himself in the name of Yisrael. Of course, we're talking about four different groups. What the Abarbanel calls the Arba Bonim, there are four children. We're referring to four different categories of Jewish people who reascribe themselves to the nation of Israel. In the Mephoshim debate, you know, who they are, but in the most basic level, the way the Mitzvah says it is, the first section of Zeyomar LaHashem only refers to Tzadikim, people who are all their life serving God. Then the next people are the people who are called B'Shem Yaakov. Those are the children of the Roshayim who reaffirm themselves to their past. And finally, Zeyukar Yichtov Yadol Hashem, the one who writes their hands to Hashem, is the Baalei Teshuva, those who come back to Judaism after having left Judaism themselves. And finally, B'Shem Yisrael Yechaneh will call themselves in the name of Israel, are considered the Geirim themselves. Fascinatingly enough, this relates to a Teshuva written by the Rambam Maimonides to Rav Ovadia Hager. Rav Ovadia Hager asked whether he can say brachas which mention Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. Can a person who's a convert to Judaism say the bracha that which denotes that he or she comes from the children of our forefathers when ultimately they may come from a different heritage? And the Rambam says that ultimately they can, for the simple reason is that the heritage of Avraham Avinu himself is and of Sarah Imenu herself is a heritage of people who found Hashem, who discovered Hashem through their own process, and therefore, maybe if not biologically, but certainly spiritually, and certainly in essence, they are the children of those searchers who themselves were gerim to the idea of God. Anyways, this relates to these four different categories of people who all affirm HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws water upon us and resuscitates us from our godless. First section. This first section is really about noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing Hashem at the end of days. However, the next section is a long tirade against the makers of idols. Hashem says it so strongly. He affirms again that I came before the world, I'm going to come after the world is finished. There is no power in the world besides Hashem. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains, how do you know this? Because I showed it to you at Sinai. I opened up the seven heavens. You saw, you died because of your experience, B'nai Yisrael. You saw the national revelation never claimed by any other religion in the world. It was only a prophetic revelation to a certain prophet who came back and told the rest of their nations, whether it be Paul, whether it be Yoshka, whether it be Muhammad, all other people who had their individualistic prophecies, which they came back and told the people, well, I showed you all what the truth was, and you are therefore all Adai. You're all my witnesses to who the real power and what the real power is in this world. And therefore he says, but the idol worshippers, they make these useless trinkets. You know, where do they get this idea from? Where does it even come from? They sort of, you have a social gravitation around these idol worshippers and makers, and ultimately they're all going to be embarrassed by their actions and their involvement. And then he goes to describe how the endless time spent by idol makers, you know, they have food deprivation, sleep deprivation, they cultivate the very plants they use for the to make their trinkets and their Avodah Zarah. And then he describes in such a ridiculous description. He talks about how you have a fellow who he cuts down a tree and he uses a bit of the tree for fuel for his food making, and then a bit of fuel to keep himself warm, and then the rest of the stump of the tree he uses to make his idol. And he's like, is this not completely ridiculous? right? It's not going to save them. It's going to be, but these people have no sense. They have no self, or call it meta-analysis. They cannot look at themselves and judge themselves and realize that what they're doing is absolutely incongruent. This is the Yeshayahu and Yeshayahu's tirade on Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It is interesting that this section really underscores one of the failings, or one of the human failings, which express itself in the creation of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the only reason people chose Avodah Zarah was Lahatir Lohem Es Ha'arayos. That was in order to facilitate, to allow a lifestyle, a morally perverse lifestyle. Meaning, what this ultimately means is that it wasn't a theological, intellectual mistake that human beings made. It was a really a lustful, indulgent mistake, because they understood that under the strictures of living with a monotheistic religion, there are limitations as to what the actions are. But when I can go into a pantheon and there are orgies and there's all kinds of exciting things done in the name of God, then ultimately, then that gives me a more of a freer and enjoyable lifestyle, which is ultimately why I've made this choice. Rabbi Chaim Angel, one of my teachers, has a fascinating essay on this particular topic, and he points out that in the general hierarchy of power in the polytheistic world, the way it goes is you have the humans, and above the humans are the priests, and the priests have above them the gods, but above the gods are what's called the forces of chaos. And you'll see that numerous times in the ancient pantheon, what will happen is the priests will reach beyond the gods to the powers of chaos to put in check the gods, because the gods in many ways are very much, you know, are whim to the fall powerless to many of the same problems that human beings have up in their pantheons, whether it be the Greeks or the Romans or before them. Ultimately, who is therefore the most powerful person in the system, Rabbi Angel argues, is the priest. Because the priest controls the powers of chaos, which control the gods, which means to say it is a completely self-centered system. And that's what Yeshayahu is saying. What kind of lack of sensitivity creates such a system? A system which is revolving around human interest, not God interest. That's level number one. The next section, which is a very short section, Yeshayahu describes how he calls on us to remember that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servant, and we should not forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should not learn from the blindness of the nations around us and their incongruencies. And he describes, Mochisi ko'ov pesha'echo v'che'anon chatosecho. Why? Why should you pay attention to me? Because, why should you not learn from them? Because I've swept away like a cloud your sin, and u'che'anon, and like a light cloud your chata'im. And then Hashem says, pleadingly, shuva elai ki galticho, return to me because I have redeemed you. Ranu shamayim ki osa Hashem. And then the whole world will sing in congruence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this section, we see another idea which is implicit in Avodah Zarah. And this is, if anybody has an opportunity of reading a book called A Letter in the Scroll by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, in chapter 11, he describes a comparison of Paul, and who one of the originators of Christianity, and Rabbi Akiva, who lived in the same generation, colleagues of one another. And he describes that in Paul's letter to the Romans, when he describes why it is that he started reforming Judaism to create Christianity as one of the sects, ultimately to turn it into his own religion, he talks about this indescribable burden of guilt. Meaning, when there was a Beis Hamikdash, which was just previously, and there was Korbanos, and there was Yom Kippur, and you could put your sins on the Seir, which would go to Azazel, and there was a way of discharging the terrible guilt felt on an annual basis. But when the Beis Hamikdash was no longer there, how could guilt ever be discharged? And therefore he talked about a religion which worked in a different system of discharge of guilt, a religion of love, with less strictures and less abilities to be able to fall prey to guilt. Whereas Rabbi Akiva said, famously in the last mission of Yom, Ashrechem Yisrael lifnei atem mitar eschem lifnei avinu shebashamayim. Rabbi Akiva says that ultimately our guilt is discharged in front of Hashem, not in a specific structure or Beis Hamikdash, not because of any physical element, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gives us the ability to be able to discharge our guilt. You see over here what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that B'nai Yisrael, don't learn from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why? You know why? Because I will wipe away your sins. Meaning, don't feel guilted into needing to go somewhere else to eradicate your sins because of the feelings of guilt. I am the one who wipes it out. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be saying in this particular section. And finally, the parak closes with one last section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dismisses the false signs. He talks about how he says he will annul the power of false prophets, soothsayers, horoscope sayers, and stargazers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? My Nevi'im will ultimately tell the truth, and my Nevi'im are going to say some very specific things. They're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return to Yerushalayim and destroy Bavel and return, and this will all be through the hands of Koresh, through the hands of Cyrus the Great later on. And those are the prophecies that he does affirm. What you see in this third level over here is another idea behind Avodah Zarah, and that is of determinism. Ultimately, the voice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah is one of people trapped in a certain worldview, unable to escape their predetermined fate, whereas Judaism talks about the destiny which we can change through our actions. This is what seems to be going on over here. And in the words of our Jonathan Sacks, in a book called To Heal a Fractured Soul, he describes how, you know, it may be true that we no longer, you know, bow down to pieces of wood in our backyard, but there are other forces that we do feel caught by, whether those the words that we use are global economy, terror, technological process, international arena, media, the biosphere. What we do is we talk about our lives in terms of sort of predetermined, caught up in the predictions of the world around us, the invisible hand behind the market. There's so many things that we talk about as if we are ultimately trapped by it. But that kind of entrapment, ultimately, that kind of being caught up in a system is ultimately the same language that Yeshayahu was talking about over here to avoid when trying to avoid Avodah Zarah, trying to move away from fate and move into destiny. We should be zeichet. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.